This is Morning Edition on WUNC. I'm Jeff Tabiri. March Madness is underway. Local women's and men's teams are among those dancing as part of the NCAA tournament fields. WUNC digital producer Mitch Northam is here to help us get ready for the women's tournament as we turn our ears towards some of the key people and storylines this March. Mitch, hello.
Hey, hello.
The Field of 68 includes UNC, Duke, NC State, ECU, and Gardner-Webb, paging Boiling Springs. The first two rounds of this tournament take place on campuses. The Blue Devils have earned games at Cameron. Who makes this Duke team tick, and what do they do particularly well?
Yeah, the person that makes them tick is Carol Lawson, the Duke head coach. She's been there. This is her second full season. Her first season was kind of cut short by COVID. So Carol Lawson, everyone knows she was a great player, you know, played at Tennessee, played in the WNBA, Team USA, all that stuff. Second full season now, Duke won 14 ACC games, you know, really great season for them. They're hosting for the first time since 2017, and their kind of identity this season has been defense. You know, they're at their best when they can keep a game in the 40s or the 50s. And really kind of muck games up and kind of grind them out. That's how they beat North Carolina in the ACC tournament about a week and a half ago. And that's what they're going to try to do to teams in the NCAA tournament. Their kind of best player, Celeste Taylor, she's up for the National Defensive Player of the Year award.
So this is a contrast between the men's and the women's tournament, where in the women's tournament, there are games, round of 64 and round of 32 games, that take place on campus. Just how much of a factor, an advantage, is that for a team like Duke playing at home?
Yeah, it can be a huge advantage. You know, NC State hosted games last year, and Reynolds Coliseum was packed and rocking for their second round of game against Kansas State. Duke is going to want to get all its crazies in the building at Cameron this year and kind of pack it in. And, yeah, it's a really big reward for the women's teams and kind of encourages hometown fans to come out to these games and makes those top 16 seeds super valuable.
Yeah, the 1-4 in each of the four regions. All right, meanwhile, Tar Heels did not draw home games at Carmichael. Gauge for us why the Heels didn't get to stay at home and just how big of a controversy, if at all, is that?
Yeah, it was pretty wild to see UNC not get a top four seed. They held a watch party at Top of the Hill on Sunday night. I was there. We were all kind of on pins and needles waiting for UNC to get a four seed, waiting for them to host, and it didn't happen. They're a number six seed. They're going to Columbus. And, I think they certainly had a case to host. They beat six AP Top 25 teams. Three of those were on the road. They certainly had a good resume. I think what worked against them is they didn't finish the season as strong as they wanted to, you know, lost two out of their last three games. And three of their ACC losses, though, came while they had two starters injured. The committee, the selection committee that the NCAA has that puts these brackets together, they're supposed to take those things into account. It doesn't seem like they did here.
Interesting. Okay, let's turn our attention toward the PAC. NC State lost a heartbreaker of an Elite Eight contest a year ago, just missing the second women's Final Four in school history. Now back in the dance, State plays late against Princeton. The squad is led by Diamond Johnson. However, she missed the ACC tournament last week with an ankle injury. What's her status? Just how important is she to any possible success for State here in the days and weeks ahead?
Yeah, she's super important. She's sort of the steadying hand, the leader of this Wolfpack team. She was a second-team All-ACC selection. And was on the team last year that went to the Elite Eight and was a really important piece to that team. It seemed like, you know, they kept her out of the last week of the regular season and the ACC tournament. It seemed like sort of as a precaution. You know, she suffered this ankle injury back in December, missed a couple games. I think it got to the point where NC State wasn't really playing for anything super valuable in terms of a conference title, seeding position, anything like that. So sort of as a safety measure, kept her out. So I expect her to play against Princeton and should NC State advance, you know, the rest of the way. So she'll be a big help.
Interestingly, perhaps the winner of the NC State-Princeton game will get the run-in Bulldogs of Gardner-Webb, a 15 seed with the daunting task of trying to knock off a number two seed, Utah. The recipe for a stunner here is what for Gardner-Webb?
Yeah, they need a monster game out of Jessica Williams, who was the Big South Player of the Year. She averages 19.8 points per game. She's pretty awesome, and Gardner-Webb had a great season. Can they beat Utah? I'm not so sure, but stranger things have happened in the NCAA tournament.
The women's tournament is implementing something new this year. Instead of four regional sites where Sweet 16 and Elite Eight games take place, there will be just two, Greenville, South Carolina, and Seattle, Washington. So effectively two regions or two regionals in both of those locations. Why the change?
Yeah, you know what? I'm not really 100% sure. I don't really understand the big upside to this. I think the NCAA's thinking is if we have these two sites and we get, you know, eight fan bases at each one, it can encourage more ticket sales and bigger crowds and that sort of thing. You know, if you're a South Carolina fan and you buy a ticket to one game, maybe you're also going to come out to NC State versus whoever or North Carolina versus whoever. Mm-hmm. So maybe you stay for all eight games and you really pack that building and make it look like a great atmosphere at these neutral sites.
All right. Final four predictions and your expected national champion out of this women's bracket.
Yeah, I'm going to take in the final four, South Carolina, Iowa, Villanova, and Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech is playing really well right now. They were the ACC tournament champions. It's hard to argue against South Carolina repeating as national champions. They just have all the pieces. I'd be pretty surprised if they don't repeat as national champions, but it's possible. I think that there's a team that can beat them. It's Iowa with Caitlin Clark.
WUNC Digital producer Mitch Northam. Thank you, Mitch.
You're welcome.